We're on Route 66, man. We started in Genesis, and here we are into the New Testament, and been off our game for a little while, a lot happening, but we're back, I really am thankful for the men that have filled in and covered, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so here this week, now we're in the book of Acts, but, something I did in the Old Testament, I want you to know that the Bible really breaks down into three groups, You got doctrine, and you've got, devotion, and you've got history. So every book and every verse in the Bible has a doctrinal application, a historical story, and then inspiration. All three things. So doctrine is, that's teaching. That's God's teaching. That's a biblical word, actually. And then God also has history in there. And so you can take, a lost guy can get history. You can grab a history book and read it. But this one here, the devotion, the inspiration behind it, you need the Spirit of God. This is God's book. You'll never understand the Bible without the Spirit of God inside. That's why you better be careful of Google. You better watch AI trying to get answers. Because it can take facts and then spit out an answer, but sometimes it won't be accurate with what God's Word really teaches. So just keep that in mind. We want to do that. So this study has been pretty doctrinal, a lot of, heavy stuff throughout. We talk a little bit of the history. We try to wrap it up with some inspiration, but I want to take you through the New Testament and see if we can't make some sense out of the New Testament. And so we've got Matthew, you've got Mark, we've got Luke, and we've got the book of John, right? And basically, these are called the Gospels. Remember this, Jesus Christ does not die and resurrect till the end of these books. So as you're reading the books, we don't take our church doctrine from the Gospels. I want you to know that. Because the church was not in place. But people get confused by that all the time. Now, we take principles out of here for sure. But next, we got the book of Acts, right? And this is, you can't get confused here, because it's the Acts of who? The apostles. That's super important. A lot of people miss that. There's a ton of acts that are done in here. These are from the guys that walked and talked with Jesus Christ while he was here on planet Earth. These guys, actually, the book of Hebrews said God even gifted them with special gifts because the Bible wasn't complete. And they needed some sort of muscle behind what they were saying. So God supernaturally gave them those gifts. And so now we got the book of Romans. After Acts, you got Romans, which is incredible. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You've got Galatians. You've got Ephesians. You've got Philippians. You've got the book of Colossians. Then we have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is going to come the book of Hebrews, which this is important. I'll tell you why. And then let me just bump it down to here. And then we got what? James. You got 1st and 2nd Peter. Then you've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Just little books. And then we've got the book of Jude. And then you've got Jude. Then you've got the book of Revelation. Okay, so folks, here is our whole New Testament. And I know it's probably hard to see. I'm writing kind of small, but I just want to give you a big picture view, because what we need to do is I want to prove and show you, because basically we got here, this is going to be a lot of our history. You've got history here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts is a history book. But for the church, I just want you to know, a lot of doctrine in the Old Testament is naturally for the nation of Israel. So doctrinal, these are books, most of these, especially Romans, clear over to the book of Hebrews. I just want you to know the author of all of those books is the same man. It's Paul. They call these the Pauline epistles. And I want you to know, all the Bible's not directly written to me and not directly written to you. But all the Bible is for me, and it's for you. But be careful. So I want you to know, you can take Romans, run it clear through the book of Hebrews. Got to watch this one. But just to let you know, Paul's writing directly to us. These are the books we go to. This is where we get our doctrine from. Now, this is something really, you got to watch out for this. This book right here, and by the way, where's inspiration? It's right here. We can get inspiration from all this, even though these are not directly written to us, especially these books here. It's not only doctrinal, but God, the Holy Spirit of God, can speak to you and bring change and inspire us and give us devotion for our lives. I just want you to give you some warning here. I'll circle it in red. I want to circle the book of Matthew. I want to circle the book of Acts. And I want to circle the book of Hebrews. These here are danger. They're dangerous books, and here's why. What makes them? The Bible's a dangerous book because it's God's book. You got to have inspiration to get it. Don't think just a bunch of study and IQ won't get you anywhere in the Bible. Well, it gets you somewhere, but it won't get you all the way. This is a book that requires this, right? So I just want you to know the reason Matthew is so dangerous. Matthew transitions from the Old Testament to the New. It's the first book in the New Testament. Very, very dangerous. It's the book, Bo did a great job laying out, it's the book written, Jesus Christ is King of the Jews. It's very Jewish-oriented. You find a lot of stuff in there that we can make practical application, but it's for the Jews. Danger, danger, danger. Taking a lot of doctrine out of the book of Matthew. It's a transitional book. The way Bo worded, I kind of like the way he worded it, is if it's a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you just don't build a foundation on a bridge. You don't build a house on a bridge, right? And you need solid ground there. There's not a lot of solid ground in there. Don't let that offend you. It's just the Bible says in Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15, it's to study to show thyself approved, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible has proper divisions. Get the divisions down. If you don't get the divisions down, you know what you get? Bad doctrine. Everybody's got bad doctrine. You usually go back because they're messing things up. Watch Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus resurrects, and now we're what? Into the book of Acts. I circled it because it's a huge transition book. Even though at the beginning of the book of Acts, it's going to take you and me, from the life of Christ into the ministry of really the Holy Ghost. It's going to take you from your Old Testament, because the Old Testament's not done until what? The death of the tester, right? Which is Jesus. So Jesus resurrects here. So technically, this is like the beginning of the New Testament. Right? So if we're studying our theology, what we really believe about the Bible. In the book of Acts, you go from law to grace. You definitely go from the Jew to the Gentile. It makes a major switch in this book. Guys, in that book, in Acts, we go from Israel to the church. It transitions. There's even a spot where Jesus almost comes back to set up his kingdom if Israel would accept him. And the church would not be what we ever thought it would be. But so, very transitional. We got to watch the book of Acts. By the way, there's a visible kingdom to the nation of Israel. And in the book of Acts, he takes us from a visible kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, which is an invisible kingdom. That's a kingdom that's in us. God is a spirit. So that's just the facts. So it we got a lot of crazy things happen in the book of Acts. A lot of the reasons why, it's because it's the apostles. So it's so wild and hairy. These are hairs. It's a little bit hairy. And we don't take our doctrine from the book of Acts. Don't let that offend you. I think you'll clearly see why maybe by the end of the message today. We take biblical principles out of here, but there's so much transition, the Lord is getting us someplace. That's why the very next book out of the book of Acts is this book right here. Romans. You get to the book of Romans and a lot of people, man, that book's kind of heavy. Yeah. Story time here. You get to the book of Romans, it's no story. You know, Paul has to do for you and me. All the wild things done in the book of Acts, He now has to ground you and me. And you have the gateway into the New Testament is the book of Romans. You got to get to a book that's solid. Even puts Israel in their proper place in chapters 9, 10, and 11. So it straightens up salvation big time. It straightens up sanctification big time. Because if you just go to this book here, you're going to be very, very confused. So we got to get here. So today, I'm in one of these transition books. By the way, the Pauline epistles go here. Nelson, he also authored this book. But it's a transitional book, notice by the name. You know, because normally you've got a place, right? I mean, we got a place. Rome to the Romans, you know, Corinthians, all these are names, like of locations where people are planting churches. And then Paul says Hebrews. So just even reading common sense, you'd be like, Hebrews? Yeah, so guess what now we're doing? We're making a transition back. Because did you know after the church what's going to take place? By the way, you know, there's a common theme in these books here. And you know what it is? Tribulation. And don't think I'm just a bad speller in English. I'm writing in Greek a little bit too. They're suffering books all to get to what? The second coming of Christ. What's this book end with? The rapture of the church. There's the rapture, will be found here. As soon as the rapture takes place, which is when the church is going to get taken out, that's not the second coming of Christ. That's a different event. The church will get taken out, and now God takes his attention back to the Hebrews. So I just want you to know, these are, a lot of people call these general epistles, but very much got a Jewish spin on them, especially by the authors. You'll look at the authors and their names, and it becomes really clear. God will even tell you, James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Peter, the Bible says he's the apostle to the circumcision, not to the church. That's why he preaches in the beginning of the book of Acts, then his name's cut off and he's found no more. But Paul is, who is the apostle to what? The Gentiles. So then we end this thing with what? The second coming, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealed. So God lays out his word, not always chronologically. He lays it out doctrinally. And so I just want you to know this. If you get your history down, and then this is a big history book. Then, and by the way, you do know that, let me take you on another little journey here. I put a few little notes down here just because I wanted to. Do you realize these books are written, and actually John comes much later, but here's this. And so you're into chapters like 1 through 12. I probably should say 8 to 12. And right here, you know what? You're going to have the book of James is written what? Oh, right in the middle of here. Is they're on their journey. And then guess what? Chapters 13 and 14, you're going to find the book of Galatians. You get to chapters 15 through 18, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are authored. In the middle of the book of Acts, you can find it. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, this is chapters 19 and 20. I'll do this again, so don't get too worried about this. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and the book of Romans takes place. In Acts, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, chapter 20. So you can see this history book's unfolded. By the time you get to the end, really towards the end of the book of Acts, you find Ephesians, you find Philippians, you find Colossians, and the book of Philemon is penned. All these books are penned within this book here. And then, of course, the rest of them, right after Paul gets arrested in Rome, right towards the end of the book of Acts, then we're going to find, we'll just find a few of these books. I missed Timothy, didn't I? Nobody told me that. Yeah, that's where they go, right here. So, you got up here and write it. You're teaching. He's teaching next week. Titus, Philemon, they're supposed to be up here too. Jeez. So, yeah, write them in there. Just write them in there. Does that make some sense? I should have just added it up because Paul authored 13 books of the Bible. I'm short. So does that still make sense, though? And they'll be right here. Them books would be right in here. Well, maybe a little bit here. But right here. And then Hebrews will kick in. And then we got this. So it still lays out the same. But I just want you to know This is the book that we're in today, the Acts of the Apostles. And guys, this is going to be a big task to get done in a short time. So there's going to be a lot of questions today. And that's how the Bible is. I don't know about you, but this book is so incredible. I get done studying a book of the Bible, and I'm like, man, I got a handle on it. I got some answers on this thing. And then I got more questions because it's God's Word. You just can't get this thing by just, you know, just with some IQ. It's going to take more than just studying or reading other books, even though I think we should do all of that. We should be well studied because that's what the Bible tells us to do. So you ready for the book of Acts? All right, here we go. The book of Acts. We do four things every book we're trying to do. We're going to do a big panoramic view. We're going to do then primary events and peoples, pictures of Jesus, and then practical living. So I'll get to it. If I could give you a panoramic view of the book of Acts, this is going to be a big picture, right? We don't have time to narrow in on details because there's details here that you'll be like, hey, but what about? And people do that all the time. I'll be teaching like in the book of Corinthians or Romans, and people say, yeah, but what about in the book of Acts? I'm like, good question. It's there. But it's a one-time thing that takes place. It's not what you would think. It's transitioning, getting us from one place to the other. The Bible's starting to get complete, and all of a sudden a lot of those things. And the main thing in the book of Acts that gets really squirrely in the big view is people see these acts that the apostles do, and they think that they're apostles today. And which we got missionaries today, which has that same kind of definition. But people that actually experience the resurrection of the Lord, the book of Hebrews makes it really clear at the beginning of the book of Hebrews that God, let's just go to the book of Hebrews real quick, and I'll show you this. The very beginning of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, just chapter, let's just go to chapter 2. And it's speaking of the apostles. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? These are the apostles, those that heard him, right? And all of a sudden, verse 4 says, and God also bearing them witness. So the apostles come on the scene, and God had to bear them witness and say, here's how you know these guys are legit. And he says, but God also bearing them witness with both what? Signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Yes, God bore witness for the apostles that these guys are legit. Signs and wonders, divers miracles, and definitely certain gifts. By the way, if you study this subject real heavy in the Bible, once you get to the book of Romans, he even in the book of Romans says, now let me lay out some spiritual gifts. The apostolic gifts from the book of Acts, they're not included. Now he mentions them again in the church of Corinth. The reason why he mentions them again, if you study 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and chapter 14, they're real heavy on the spiritual gifts. You'll find out if you read the book of Corinthians, Paul is correcting the church. They're messed up. They're taking these apostolic gifts and running with them. And he's like, it's not right. It's not. And so anyways, I'm just throwing that out there, big picture. Write down questions. We can ask questions. I'm not afraid of questions. I got news for you. I don't want to be wrong. I'm mad at myself that I forgot 5 books up here on the whiteboard. I don't like to be wrong. I don't want to lose. But if I can be corrected by the Bible, this book's always right. Don't feel bad coming to me. Like, and if I get mad, if you ask a question, you find me getting mad, normally my anger will rise up because maybe I'm wrong. We all do that, don't we? But bring the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe God's Word. So please, if you have questions over this, And I'd like you to bring scripture with you, but some people, you've just been taught something, and you're just like, man, I've always believed it. It might be the type of church that you're from. That's just real. We believe things, and sometimes I've never questioned it. You know, somebody's like, well, can you prove that in the Bible? Good question. I've never had to do that before. And so then we go to God's Word. So anyways, here we are, the book of Acts. If I could say one thing about the book of Acts, it's the book that is consistently inconsistent. Because it's a transition book. If I asked you today, how do you receive the Holy Spirit of God? Your answer would be in one of the Pauline epistles where Paul teaches, and Paul would tell you that it's upon receiving Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear on that once the Pauline epistles are written. You accept him in the book of Ephesians, and he becomes the seal of our salvation, right? So that's clear. In the book of Acts, seven different ways. It's inconsistent. A lot of times people say, hey, how do you get your sins remitted or taken away? If you study the phrase remission of sins in the Bible, it's wild. Because in the book of Acts, let me go to some notes I have written in my Bible on this. Because I had to study it because everybody's like, no, the Bible clearly says. Or they want to take you to Acts 2:38. And you're like, ooh, that's scary. Because that's a period of time heading to the church at Jerusalem for real. And people just say, this is why you need to. And then they'll start adding things for salvation. But they actually have scripture for it. But the Bible says remission of sins. You'll find all through the Bible. Like he'll say in the book of Mark, he'll tell everybody he preached baptism and repentance of sin and repentance for the remission of sins. So there you got to be baptized and repent or your sins ain't gone away. So it includes baptism. You can't deny that. But folks, guess what? It's Mark. And you know what that baptism is? John the Baptist. It's not our baptism. It's not the same. But everybody just assumes it. So allow common sense. Allow the context to determine. And by the way, if you think that to be true, Jesus Christ hadn't even resurrected yet. So you can now have remission of sins without Jesus Christ. And guess what then? You could. Because you were getting your sins remitted. Not that they wouldn't be back the next morning. But you're getting them remitted, getting clean for the Messiah. This was a whole Jewish process. It says all the way through here, I can take it a different. In Acts chapter 2, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Repentance, baptism, name of Jesus for remission of sins. All of a sudden, as you work down through there, by the time the Jews reject Jesus, the Israel rejects Jesus, and now the number 10, Acts chapter 10, why? What's the number 10 represent in the Bible? Anybody? 10? Anybody? Gentiles. It's the number of the Gentiles in the Bible. And that's why even if you study prophecy and find Daniel's figures, and you're like, oh my gosh, those are the Gentile nations, right? Yeah, and he'll tell you, and he'll keep putting the number 10 on it. But in Acts chapter 10, now the Jews have rejected. Now we get the Apostle Paul saved, and now Gentiles are accepting the message of Jesus Christ. And from Acts 2:38, it changes in Acts 10:43, and it says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What about the baptism part? Well, that was for the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, that was for the Jew. Then you get to the book of Romans, and Paul straightens it out even more. He declares Jesus Christ in Romans 3 for the remission of sins. Gang, our salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. A lot of churches teach this differently. I feel like I can take the big picture of the Bible and I can prove it. We just need to prove what we believe according to Scripture. There's a lot of churches that do different things. A lot of churches say, well, you need to repent. Well, repentance is built in there. You admit you were a sinner. You need Jesus Christ. That's a turnaround, right? So I do believe in repentance. Even Paul talks about it. You find repentance a lot even for believers. You repent over what? An attitude or something you did wrong and you have to turn from it for real. So I'm about repentance. But a lot of churches will be like, okay, well, you need to get baptized. And so they do them both together. And they always quote Acts 2:38. And I would be like, nah, that don't work for a believer. You better take me to the Pauline epistles and show me that and there. and you'll be looking all night long with a flashlight and won't run into it. So I'm just letting you know, just to be honest here, but Romans declares it. And then the book, when Paul finishes up at the book of Hebrews, he even just says, you know what, just remember this. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Everything points to Jesus. So our salvation is Christ and Christ alone. Our salvation does not include water baptism. Now, there's a few times in Scripture the Bible mentions to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now we're talking salvation. Baptism, immersed in the Holy Ghost. And people make that. I've had people, hey, let's lay hands on this gal coming forward here so that she can receive. She knows Jesus, but now she needs to be, it's the second grace. Now we need her to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then they start getting wild. And I've seen churches force that, try it. People get baptized, come out of the water. And there's a church in town that posted a video of it. And this girl comes out of the water. They're like, come on, come on, go, go. That's what the pastor's doing, because he really desperately wanted this girl, her eyes to roll in the back of her head, and her to begin speaking in tongues. Because he took some scripture, mainly out of the book of Acts, twisted in the book of Corinthians, and just thought that's the way it should be. It's a slippery slope. You better be careful of it. And I've never had anybody that I've ever been able to talk with and run them with scripture that's ever been able to prove otherwise. And then let me tell you what they'll always stand on. And listen, you want to hear something dangerous? Anybody want to hear something dangerous? Here's something dangerous for you. When they can't back it with Scripture, they'll back it with their experience. So dangerous. So dangerous. We let Scripture override even our very experience. Guys, I want to experience God. I love singing a song. I love when my hairs go up on my arm. That don't happen every... You can't... you can force it a little bit. You know, but it's not right. Don't rely on that. We rely on the Scriptures. And a lot of people that will take a lot of things in the book of Acts, they'll just say, well, I've seen it. My hairs went up on my arms and I've seen it. And they'll tell me this wild story of something that happened. I was just doing this, and before you know it, it just took over. And all of a sudden, I was laying on the ground, and I was out of control. You know. And yet you get to the book of Acts, and you start working through this, and you'll find that there's something consistent in the Bible. Something consistent in the Bible is when a guy or a girl in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, which when we receive Jesus, He's the seal of our salvation. He's on the inside of me. My spirit's alive with the Holy Spirit of God. That spirit. So you get him on the inside of you, and you know what the Bible says happens next? Oh, well, you get slain in the spirit, brother. You lay down on the floor. I've seen it many a times. The Bible don't even say that. You find that in the Bible, slain in the spirit. People always, but then people are like, well, then that's when you speak in tongues, you know. Well, I will tell you, the only examples of that found in the Bible, well, they're in the book of Acts. That's the only time you find it. You find it taught a little bit in Corinthians. The only time you find it is three times in the book of Acts. And every time, it's very transitional. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. You're going to see it and go, makes some sense. Yeah, it makes, because the Bible does make sense, for real. But just to let you know that a good sign of somebody being filled with the Spirit in the Bible, they're witnessing. They proclaim Jesus. The Spirit don't speak of Himself. He speaks of Jesus. That's the whole teaching on the Holy Ghost in John 14 through 16. That's why some people tell these spiritual gifts and they get caught up in it. They just want to talk about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. Oh, I feel the Spirit and the Spirit, this, Spirit, that. That's funny. People in the Bible that get, you know, filled with God's Spirit, they proclaim Jesus Christ. They're preaching the gospel. People get saved. You know? It's sensible when you study Scripture. But be careful, because most people handle the Bible like they're bachelors. Once I had an international student living with me, and I had no food in the house, and he left. He left my house smelling like, you know, curry and oil. That's my house smelled like that for a month. But I looked, he left some rice in there. I've never cooked rice in my life. I had nothing else in the house. I had a big pot of rice. I cooked a big tub of rice. I put it in a big bowl, a big cereal bowl. And all I had in the fridge was ketchup and barbecue sauce. So, you know, I did what everybody else would do. I just stirred it up and I made myself, you know, some consistency of, you know, soup, you know. And, man, I just hammered down, man. That's what I ate that night. Well, I couldn't serve that at a restaurant because nobody would pay for it. But it filled my belly that night. People do the same thing with the Bible. If my wife would eat that meal, she'd be like, this is disgusting. Well, it was good for the first 12 bites. It didn't taste good towards the end. I threw a lot of it out. But people do it at the Bible. You just grab this first. Oh, grab this first. Boop. You start mixing. It's called bachelor cooking. And if you're an honest bachelor, I try to be honest now with my cooking. And I'll taste it. And the girls always know. They know when I'm not happy. It just don't taste great. Edible? Okay. It'll sustain us. We're not going to die tonight. I'm not going to kill anybody, but it just don't taste. Nobody would pay any money for it. We're in the book of Acts. Just remember, gang, this book is so inconsistent. And I want you to get that more than anything else. The book of Matthew, Acts, Hebrews. They're wild and fun. The book of Acts, let it be put on record, is by far my favorite book in the entire Bible. And I love other books too, but when I get to the book of Acts, it just lights me on fire. The Holy Spirit arrives at the beginning of the book of Acts, and then we see the church taken off. So it's just so exciting. Did you know the word Holy Ghost in the book of Acts? It appears 41 times. 41 times. Spirit appears like 10 times, but if you added that to it, you could say over 50 times. But no, the Holy Ghost. And I like this. Holy smokes. Ghost. It's not Holy Spirit. Capital, capital. Because when you got the Spirit of God and it indwells a man, that Spirit now is called the Holy Ghost. He's inside. It's the inward dwelling of the Spirit of God inside a person, and now you're the ghost. You're a dead sheet, and He moves you inside of you. The word Holy Ghost pops up, and it's beautiful all through the book of Acts. There's a key to the book of Acts. If you want to go to Acts chapter 1, and Acts chapter 1, now remember, guys, kingdom of heaven, you find that in the book of Matthew. You don't find the word a ton, but you do find it. And if you're in Acts chapter 1, my gosh, guys, I'm dying. You guys dying in here? It's 10:38 and I'm looking at where I'm at. I'm like, we're in deep trouble. And I always said I'd do this in 1 week. Because I know a guy that tried to do an overview of the Bible. And he's like, okay, we're going to be 6 weeks in the book of Deuteronomy. No! No. So let me do this quickly. If you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says they were teaching things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, because kingdom of heaven is Israel's kingdom. But I'll tell you what happens. Look at verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You keep talking about the kingdom of God. What about Israel's kingdom? That's what the Bible would call kingdom of heaven. The physical kingdom, their land grant that's actually theirs. All the fighting in the Middle of the East, that's real stuff. That fight's been going on since the book of Genesis. And it's going to continue. And he says in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Meaning, like, guys, you're wrong. Quit talking about that business. No, it's just not time. The kingdom to Israel. It's not time. He's like, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? These guys are all Jews. All the disciples, all of them. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now what? He's teaching you things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. He's going to put the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses. The number one trait of a man or a woman filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is he's a witness. She's a witness. Not that she can dance backwards and wave a flag around. And by the way, I can prove this to you too. We'll do it another day. This ain't going to happen now. I can prove to you too, using scripture, that the very languages that they spoke, when people talk about speaking in tongues, there was a guy I follow. He's a good pastor, actually. And he just recently just like, man, now I got a heavenly language. And I speak, and he uses one verse out of context, twist it to pieces. But you find in the book of Acts, when they spoke in tongues, they were speaking a language, somebody, so that somebody could understand the message of Jesus. Tongues was actually a language on planet Earth. I'm just telling you. This is where the church of Corinth got it wrong. That's why when Paul teaches the book of Corinthians, guys, they were literally getting excited and blah, 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 you know, saying, feel my leg, feel my leg, feel my leg, feel my leg, saying stuff. And I have a buddy that's part of a church like this, but they'll give handbooks out to teach people how to talk in this language. And they say it's a heavenly language. And I'm like, just study the Bible, find out what language comes out of heaven. How about that? But they don't want to do that. And it's a little bit messed up. But he says here, my spirit will come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Hey, Brian, you need to sit down. You don't get up. You've already been up once. You're a man. There we go. And so it says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses. And now I want you to, this is the key to the book of Acts. You shall be witnesses unto me both where? What's it say? Jerusalem, then where? Judea. Samaria and what? So check this out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the uttermost. This is what it clearly says here. And I want you to know what's so exciting about following this in Scripture is you're going to find that the church is supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You shall be witnesses. And it starts here and goes here. Because you know what this is, guys, don't you? This is home. This is where you live. When you get Judea and Samaria, you know what that is? Judea and Samaria, it becomes like, now it's the neighborhood. Or maybe surrounding towns. And then the uttermost, you know where that's at. It's the rest of it. It's the world. So the book of Acts does this. It starts in Jerusalem, and their goal was to get it here. By the time the book of Acts is over with, it was on three continents. It's true. The book of Acts becomes an explosion. By the way, in the book of Acts, chapters 1 through 7, they're in Jerusalem. In 8 through 12, you'll find them in Judea and Samaria. And then it's starting about 13, clear to the rest of the book, you find Paul, and they're going distant places. When churches plant, some people think, well, we're a new church plant, we better have a bunch of deacons. That's not true. The Bible don't teach that. You have deacons when you need deacons. Well, now that we're a church, I think we need to start supporting missionaries all around the world. That's not true either. You don't have. Now, it's not a bad idea, but I'm just telling you, biblically, you don't find that. It starts at home. We're getting excited about, we put on 25 church roofs in Malawi, Africa. That's a great deal. Our church raised $8,000. Hey, that's a great deal. But if we're not effectively ministering right here in our community, right here in Monmouth, what's that? It's not real. But what it does is it starts here and it begins to multiply. That's what happens. What really happens is a lot of times churches, you know how churches die? As you begin this process, our job is to get the world out, the word out to the world. The word to the world, and that's the book of Acts. It's getting the word out. You study the word doctrine in the Bible, and the book of Acts is all about that. They get to Jerusalem, and it says they filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. They filled it. It started getting known, the teachings of the Bible. And like other churches that don't teach that. But we live in this politically correct world, so when somebody tells us something, you're just like, you just take it real, like, you know, oh, great, that's, you know, you go to that church. Well, at least you're in church. At least you're in church. The devil pastors that church. Did you look at their doctrine? They don't teach the gospel. They don't believe that it's just Jesus Christ and he saves. They teach all kinds of crazy things. They're praying to dead saints. They're going, the priest is running, you know, interference. People trying to get to God, get forgiveness of sins. He thinks he can give it. They're taking the Eucharist and praying this prayer over bread and wine, turn it into Christ. It's absurd. It don't even line up with the Scripture. And we're just like, well, you know, they're good Catholics. There's no such thing. That's like a contradiction. Now, don't take what I'm saying. It's like, well, look what he's doing, saying, I think there's Catholic people that know Jesus. I do believe that. I've talked to a few, very few. You ain't going to meet one growing and thriving in their relationship because why? The doctrine. But you follow doctrine, next thing you know, Judea and Samaria, they're chapter 8, they start going out. Now remember, they wouldn't go out on their own. So right here, persecution rose against the church. They scattered the church, and guess what? They went everywhere preaching, first to Judea, then to Samaria. Ain't that crazy? It took persecution. That's why when we have troubles at church, like, man, that church has a lot of trouble, because God's trying to get us to do the work. It's hard. We're in spiritual warfare. We make mistakes. God bring trouble into our lives when we don't got ourselves square. You know how it is. You keep living the way you're living at home until what? The money crashes. All of a sudden it crashes. You're like, oh my gosh, you better do something different. You're not going to make it. And it causes you to stop and go, okay, are we doing the right thing here? Like, we prayed for 3 families to come from VBS. That was the goal. The goal wasn't just to make our kids happy so that they could eat Tootsie Rolls in Rome. That wasn't the whole point. Even though I want our kids to have fun, that's a great thing to do. But I just want you to know, this is a great outline for the book of Acts, as Acts 1:8. It's just a beautiful picture of going, taking the gospel. And by the way, it's all Jew up here. And it takes till you get down here, and then you're getting the Gentiles. Actually starts in chapter 10 here. But you can really, Paul actually, the last chapter even says, that's it. I'll say it again. The Jews don't want it. We're done. And they go to the rest of the world. That's how the book of Acts even ends. So, anyways, let me hustle. If you're going to break down the book of Acts, oh, shit's terrible. If you want to, I'm going to move to like primary events and people. There is 2 ministers in the book of Acts, 2 big ones. The first one's name is Peter. Not Cottontail. This is one of the followers of Christ. Peter, you're going to find him at the beginning of the book of Acts. Chapters 1 through 12. Isn't it interesting the number for the nation of Israel is what? 12 tribes. Then from here on, you're going to find the Apostle Paul. Peter comes on the scene. He's the apostle to the Jews. He ministers. But remember, he had all that trouble. Remember, the sheet came down to him, and he had to, Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians, and they're like, go ahead here. I just want everybody to have a hot dog today. And for a Jew, eating a hot dog, we ain't allowed to because the law, the law's been fulfilled. And so he got up, he was embarrassed, and even though God told him to take the gospel to the Gentiles, Peter's like, man, but the other people are looking at me, So God had to bring the Apostle Paul in, one born out of due season, and this guy came in chapter 9, and all of a sudden he's known that he has 3 mission trips to the world. Mission starts getting done. So this is, and by the way, if you want to break up the book of Acts into 2 cities, a tale of 2 cities, you're going to find what? The church at Jerusalem. And we can learn things about the church at Jerusalem. But by the time Paul comes on the scene, we actually want to follow the church of Antioch. This is a church that's getting it done and going to the rest of the world. And by the way, you know where you end up at here? Rome, which was the world power. They started getting to Rome. Meaning, we put Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That's the outline of the book of Acts. Getting the gospel to spread. Guys, I hope practically you're seeing this, because our church needs to be busy right here at home. We need to be busy about getting the gospel, getting the word out to people. And some of these other churches, it's not our job to go up and blow up churches, you know. That's not our job. It's not my job up here to tell you how bad churches are in town. You know, we got our own set of problems. It is my job to teach the Bible. And so to teach the Bible, I don't want to like destroy, you know, I don't want to take this negative twist, you know. Like, we want the biggest church in town. Well, you can have the biggest church in town. Just blow up every church in town. You'll not only be the biggest, you'll be the only church in town. That's not the way you do that. You know how we make the biggest church in town? We start texting a guy that comes to work. And we start, hey, you want to come to church with me? And the guy shows up at church. And then all of a sudden he meets a girl. And he calls and says, hey, I'm supposed to get baptized, but I don't think I'm saved. See, the church is doing their job. That guy lives in Iowa. He's probably, what we're doing is spread the word everywhere we go. If we do our job, that's how we grow. You become the biggest church in town by building the biggest church in town. Spread God's word. Give the gospel out. Share the message of Jesus Christ. That's how you build the biggest church in town. Churches are supposed to grow. Somebody's like, well, I don't want a church to be big. I want a church to be small. Well, if you want to read the book of Acts, you know what you're going to find in the book of Acts? A lot of mega churches. Because the gospel was new in that area. And when the gospel was new, it blew up. And there were thousands of people getting saved. So don't knock mega churches. People think, oh, that's just a rock and roll pastor up there. That's all that is. Smoke and lights. That's like a concert every Sunday morning. They must not teach the right thing. Be careful saying that, because the book of Acts shows large amounts of people getting taught proper doctrine. So just be careful of that. We can't judge too harshly there. But do you see the cities? Let me give you another way to break up the... Could you give us another way to break up the book? I'm glad you asked. There's three major questions that you can find in the book of Acts. 1, 2, and 3. The first question you're going to find is Acts 2:37. You know what the question is asked? What shall we do? What shall we do? There's another one in Acts 9 and verse 6. Apostle Paul says, Lord, calls him Lord, but then he says this, what wilt thou have me to do? What? Have, you can look that up, do. So gang, up here, they've crucified the Savior, you know, but now we got the apostle getting saved, Paul, he wasn't the apostle then, but he's becoming. What will we do? And then in chapter 16 and verse 30, there's a distinct difference here, because then the question's like, then what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And you can find some distinctions as you go between these, and you'll see, man, things are a little bit odd there. Things got a little bit, yeah, for sure. So, just to let everybody know, I already said this, I'll say it again. The church of Antioch is the key to the book of Acts. It's our example church, not the church at Jerusalem. They had deacons there, first missionaries there. We got the name Christian in chapter 11. By the way, our Bible comes from there. Ain't that nice? Our Bible, Antioch, Assyria. And so, that's it. Let me give you some pictures of Jesus. Ready for some pictures of Jesus? Pictures of Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a little bit of common sense, but the first picture of Jesus I'm going to give you is, we're in Acts chapter 1. If you want to take your Bible and go there, you can. You start reading it. Former trees have I made unto thee. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. Before you know it, by the time this chapter's over, the apostles are sitting around. And one, Judas killed himself, so they had to replace him. Why? Because 12 is the number of Israel. One from each tribe, they had to get him. So they got 12 now. They were all standing there, and Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. But before he ascended to heaven, you know what he did? It says in verse 3, he resurrected from the grave. I want you to know the first picture of Jesus in Acts is he's the risen Lord. It says all through the book of Acts that after his passion, he showed himself alive. Acts chapter 2:24, he raised him up from the dead. Acts 3:15, you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. Acts 10, Acts 13, it keeps coming. Jesus Christ. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, right? He doesn't resurrect till the very, very end. But the start of the book of Acts, he's the resurrected Savior. He's alive. This is why the church has life, because he's alive. Christianity, so that's why if you go to a church and they got a cross on the wall, especially if Jesus is hanging on it, I would run, because their doctrine's messed up. He's not on the cross. Matter of fact, I don't even, as a whole, I'm not a big fan of crosses, because the one, they become idols. People like to pray to them and stuff, and like to, you know, do the sign of the cross when they feel scared. It's cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. It's really can be a curse in the Bible, but that's where Jesus took our curse of sin. I get it. I'm not freaked out if you got a cross. I actually got a little cross necklace, you know. But I can cross my arms, cross my legs, all that stuff. But I'm not against it, but I'm just, it easily can become an idol, you know, where people want to pray to it or something. But I just want you to know, Jesus Christ is the resurrected Savior. The book of Acts is alive, the church is alive, because Jesus is alive. So Jesus Christ is a resurrected Savior. You should live a very alive Christian life. If your Christian life is dead, I'm telling you right now, you're not living the Christian life. The book of Acts is always alive. There's wild things happen in the book of Acts. They make them out. And by the way, they make mistakes in the book of Acts because they don't have completed scriptures. They're making mistakes too. Same way with us. When I get away from the scriptures, I make mistakes. I mess up. That's cool. So, Jesus Christ is resurrected. No excuse for you and me. He resurrected for me and as me. I'm alive in Christ. It's all in Christ. So be alive. Our church should be alive. Our music should be alive. When we sing Praise the Lord, we should be like the Elevation Church. They're up there hopping around dancing. Why? Because they're like, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive. I'm truly alive. Another thing that you'll find Jesus, he's not just alive. He's also the ascended King. Because he resurrected from the grave, but then they got to watch him ascend up into heaven. So, right? Jesus Christ resurrects from the grave. Jesus Christ ends up going to heaven to present his body as a living sacrifice before the throne room of God. Sacrifice made. Comes back to planet Earth for how many days? The number of testing, right? He's down there, and he's literally down on planet Earth and showing himself alive. And then they watched him ascend up into heaven because he's the ascended King. He's going to go back up and take his throne because he left his throne of heaven to come down here and put on rags to die for you and me. By the time this is over, he went up as the ascended King, took his rightful place, and that he said, hold on, because I'm going to give my spirit to you guys. That's how the book of Acts starts. It's a very exciting book. The church is waiting around for the spirit to come. Now listen, here's people get whacked. People get whacked on this all the time because they go to church services and you know what they do? They pray for God's spirit to fall. Oh God, fall upon us again. Like fire, like Acts, it says at the beginning of Acts, fall upon us. Guys, that was a one-time event in history. He's here. The spirit of God, I came to church this morning. He's in me. Right? He's here. He's in you and me. And I know, I want the spirit to use my message and use his words as I preach. I want all that. And I want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. We pray these things, and it's kind of like you look at the Bible, and like, why ain't they praying that? Why ain't they sitting in a room, and you don't find Paul saying, make sure your church gathers together and prays that the Spirit of God just, you know, and people, they pray these prayers, and you're like, that's not necessarily a biblical prayer. I think sometimes God knows our motives and what we want, but Jesus has ascended. He's in heaven. He's the King. Another thing, if you want to mark what Jesus does, but he's the giver of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the giver of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, he's also called the Spirit of Christ in the Bible. He continues the earthly ministry of Jesus through you and me. We are the body of Christ. He gives us his Spirit, and now you and me. I want to be like Jesus. You and me want to be like Jesus, right? This is the book of Acts. Jesus' work continuing through knuckleheads like me. That's what it is. He comes down in an earthen vessel and says, and I got him inside of me, and he says, watch what I can do. And the book of Acts is one miracle after another. One crazy story after another. And it's like Jesus Christ is down here. He is. He put a spirit in you and me. That's why some of our guys, we live lame lives. And yet we know people. They're trying to plant a second church over in England. We know people. We're sending money over. We got a guy and girl in Kosovo. There's hardly any churches in that main city where they're in. Man, we get to be a part of that. Isn't that incredible? There's little towns all around us that don't have a church worth a nickel. Well, it's our job to get there. Spread their... Or go to a dark place in the world. That's what the book of Acts does. You see the light of the gospel go from home to neighborhoods to surrounding towns to the othermost, to the world. I've always believed moving here to Monmouth that God was going to change the world through a little church in Monmouth, Illinois. And guys, I know it might not look like on a big scale, but just this morning I seen a video of 25 churches with brand new roofs on them. Money raised from a bunch of poor folks in Warren County. Well, not just Warren County. We got three counties represented here now. Another thing you see in the book of Acts, Jesus, pictures of Jesus, he builds his church. That's what he said he would do. The church grows because Jesus is leading it. He's the head. He's supposed to do it. That's it. That's pictures of Jesus. And I'm sorry, I'm butchering the book of Acts a little bit. I'm giving you a nice big picture, which is the goal. But let's end this thing with some real nice application. The very beginning of our Bible, there's chaos and sin on the planet. Jesus Christ comes down as the creator, and it says in 1:3, hey, let there be light. The first time you find light in the Bible, it's not the sun or the moon. That's created later. It's actually capital D day. In Proverbs 6, the Bible says, God's commandment is a light, and his law, or it's a lamp, and his law brings light. Ephesians 5:13 says, you know, whatsoever is manifest is light. It's light. See, light makes seeing possible. That's what light does for you and me. It's a form of energy, the fastest moving on the planet, that allows us to see. What's interesting is everybody's amazed by light, and yet Jesus Christ said he is the light of the world. 1 John, God says he is light, in him is no darkness at all. We find God claiming to be light, Jesus is light, and his word provides light. Not just an illumination. It becomes an entity. You know, the universe has a speed limit. You know what the speed limit of the universe is? It's light. It's the fastest speed that we know. It's amazing. 186,282 miles per second. That's the speed of light. 186 plus miles per second. So if the Earth's circumference is about 25,000 miles from beginning to end, that means that you and me, if we got in our car and I could drive a road clear around the globe at 70 miles an hour, if you 70 miles an hour and didn't sleep, you just drove 24 hours, 70 miles an hour ago, you could circle the Earth in close to 15 days. It'd take 15 whole days, half a month, for you and me to get. Of course, we got water and things like, you know, that's not really possible. But that's if we could drive. And yet you'll find out that light, as fast as it travels, it rotates the Earth 7.5 times every second. Every second. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. And so everything we do, we always compare it to light, put it to light, you know, put it under the scope, all that type of thing. And yet the Bible says, don't miss this. You can know a lot about science and facts and figures if you want. I'm light. Our comparison is always light. It's the speed limit of the universe. God says it's me, Christ, the gospel, his word. You know what the book of Acts is? It's showing us the speed of light. It's showing us the process. Church should be wound up and excited. The book of Acts shows us a circumference of home, and then it goes out, 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 out. And all of a sudden, before you know it, there's three continents that are represented by the time the book of Acts goes, because that's what the church should do. We should spread it. It should be that fast. You know, in the book of Acts, if you study the word light, I'm just here to tell you there's a few amazing things in there that's incredible. And I'd love to preach them one day, but guess what? Because of time, I'm not going to preach them. I'm not going to give them to you. You can study light in the book of Acts yourself. But I'll tell you one thing beautiful about it. You'll find in Acts chapter 13, the light that knocked Paul on his can, the gospel that Jesus Christ that put him on his can, Jesus Christ says, and now I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it compares the church, the believers, the church ain't quite into effect, to two different things. But the one now for this message and for this point, he says, I want you to know, church, you are the light of the world. This is the book of Acts, getting the light to every dark place on the planet. That's our goal. Even though it's the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see that thing go, and all of a sudden you hit the book of Romans and say, okay, let's get our doctrine straight here. So, and that's why, by the way, any church that preaches the gospel, I'm fine with them. There's churches that believe crazy things that I don't believe, but they're high on the gospel and they're straight on the gospel. Bam. They're family. I support that, right? So that's the book of Acts. I'm sorry I didn't have time to do a lot of, but the big picture of the book of Acts, it's an incredible book, but you got a good outline from it. You got, what, several cities, you got several preachers, you can divide it. But the main thing I like is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That's us. And church, I want you to know, let's cover our bases. Let's allow this light that we have. You know, some of you, you're like, man, I quit growing. You know probably why? The light's affected your life. Now you're the light to the world. Go light something on fire. I'm telling you right now, if you'd stand in the middle of somewhere and start shedding that light, you know, the sun provides light. It's like everything around, if the sun was just a little further away or a little closer, we'd either burn up or freeze up. And somebody says, well, man, how do we get that light from the sun? Every time I see it, the planet's on fire. That star is on fire. That's why. So you and me should be on fire for the Lord. And everywhere we go, we should be illuminating. We should bring warmth to places. We should bring light, the light of the gospel. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be like the church in the book of Acts. Let's see this thing go past our neighborhood. Let's do some damage. You know, we should be in trouble. We should be asking ourselves, "What, man, are we really supposed to have five services on Sunday? Because we can't house this people. What do we do with this?" Well, let's start planting some churches around. That's what we should be doing. Churches sitting around. You know what people do? When they ain't doing the light of the gospel, getting into the world like in the book of Acts, they go back to Jerusalem like, okay, let's have a meeting. How do we maintain what we have? And then the church no longer grows. It's done. You're done at that point. We don't want to be that church. So let's bow our heads this morning. Let's just pray.